First case on our calendar, 07-1807, the Ohio Bell Telephone Company versus William Wilkins, Tax Commissioner, Mr. Hubbard.
May it please the court, the Board of Tax Appeals erred by exclusively relying on a brand new valuation methodology that Ohio Bell presented for the very first time at the Board of Tax Appeals. In so doing, the Board of Tax Appeals usurped the function of the tax commissioner as a statutory tax assessor, and in the process, violated two jurisdictional statutes. At the commissioner's level, Ohio Bell asserted in its petition for reassessment that the commissioner should apply a replacement cost new evaluation methodology and submitted a evaluation study in support of that methodology. The commissioner reviewed and rejected the replacement cost new evaluation methodology, and Ohio Bell appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals and set forth in its notice of appeal that the commissioner should have used the replacement cost new methodology. Then, about a year after it filed its notice of appeal to the board, Ohio Bell abandoned its replacement cost new methodology and in its place substituted a unit valuation methodology based on a cost income approach. Ohio Bell's unit value methodology constituted an entirely new valuation issue that the Board of Tax Appeals had no jurisdiction to consider.
Counsel, is that income-based appraisal a valid method for appraising?
Absolutely, Your Honor, if it's done properly. And in this case, as we pointed out in our merit brief, there were fundamental errors in the way they did it. But a unit value approach, which takes into account all the property of the taxpayer, including the real property, the personal property, the intangible property, and then allocates that unit value to attribute some of that value to the taxable property. And it's supposed to be done under a cost approach, an income approach, and a comparable sales approach. And here they relied exclusively on an income approach because their cost, they didn't do any comparable sales approach, and their cost approach was a pseudo-income approach. But for jurisdictional purposes, they didn't raise that at the commissioner's level, and so they violated the petition for reassessment statute and the notice of appeal to the board statute.
I'd like to hear your argument on that further, because it seems that's obviously a dispositive issue. If we decide that the notice of appeal wasn't properly filed, then the case would be dismissed.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And the board certainly should have done that given this court's case law. In CNG Development Co., this court held that the petition for reassessment requirement that taxpayers must raise all their issues in writing before the commissioner in the commissioner's proceedings is a mandatory jurisdictional requirement. And this court has long held that the specification of error requirement in the notice of appeal statute is a mandatory jurisdictional requirement that must be strictly complied with. And that was violated here too. And of course, there's six decades of case law, beginning with Queen City Valves versus Peck on that. And the court has issued several recent decisions with respect to the specification of error, strongly affirming that requirement. And in any valuation case, in any personal property valuation case, the core issue is the valuation methodology to use. So when Ohio Bell changed that valuation methodology at the board, it changed the fundamental core issue in the case. In the most fundamental way, it's a new issue.
Did the appeal give notice to the tax commissioner as to the amount of the difference in what the taxpayer was claiming should be the valuation,
Your Honor,
versus the bottom line dollar number that the tax commissioner had determined?
What the notice of appeal to the board is, it simply stated the same issue that was raised in the petition for reassessment, that a replacement cost new methodology we should use. But to answer your question about the amount that they sought was the same amount they sought at the commissioner's level. And so they just restated that. But of course, when they abandoned the replacement cost new methodology, they came up with an entirely new number based on an entirely methodology.
They arrived at the same number with a totally different valuation.
Well,
approach.
It wasn't the same number. I think that they're calling it more conservative because it's slightly higher, their method. I mean, I'm sorry, the method that Ohio Bell asserted at the Board of Tax Appeals, the unit value income approach method resulted in a higher value than what they asserted in their notice of appeal. So the amount was different, but I think much more fundamentally than the amount was different is that the entire methodology was different. So the commissioner couldn't exercise his discretion to determine whether that unit value methodology made sense.
But doesn't 5717 permit the Board of Tax Appeals to modify a determination of true value by the tax commission?
Oh, absolutely, Your Honor. But that's, of course, conditioned upon the board being conferred with jurisdiction to consider the specific issue. And here, they didn't raise that issue.
The issue is the true value of the real property, is it not?
Well, in the broadest sense of the word, any valuation challenge is a challenge to value.
And as Justice O'Connor points out, there are different methods
absolutely
of evaluating real estate, one of which
is
the cost or income approach, is it not?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. But the point is that the commissioner is required as tax assessor to evaluate that, to take that evidence. In Texas Eastern, for example, what happened is the taxpayer presented the appraisal evidence, the unit value methodology, to the commissioner, right? And the commissioner then issued findings on it. In fact, this court in Texas Eastern said the commissioner has a duty to consider that evidence and to consider the valuation methodology. Here, it's much more than just evidence. It's a completely different core valuation issue that's being presented.
I'm having trouble understanding what you mean by the core value. I thought we were talking about
core issue.
The true value of the property.
Yes, and but the reasons why the true value should be changed that Ohio Bell asserted at the Board of Tax Appeals were completely different from the reasons it asserted at the commissioner's level. So the commissioner couldn't make any findings on it.
Is there anything that says the valuation method utilized with the tax commissioner must be the very same valuation method utilized by the Board of Tax Appeals? Where does it say that?
It says that in the petition for reassessment statute that requires taxpayers to raise their objections in writing to the commissioner, and even more specifically, it sets forth it in the notice of appeal statute which requires that the taxpayer specify in precise terms the errors complained of. And this court has said, in order to do that, you have to say why, and you have to say why well.
Help me understand why, if the complaint is as to what the value of the real estate is as found by the tax commissioner, that a different method of valuation couldn't be offered to the Board of Tax Appeal.
Because that's a different core issue. They're changing horses in midstream, and they bypass the commissioner's deference. If they had presented their unit valuation methodology to the commissioner would have exercised his judgment and expertise and ruled on that. And they bypassed that. Instead, what's going to happen in this case, if the BTA decision were permitted to stand, is that the BTA will be the tax assessor. The BTA doesn't have the professional expertise and manpower to fairly and efficiently evaluate personal property as a tax assessor. And so, for example, the tax commissioner's findings, this court has strongly said on case after case, is entitled to great weight. The taxpayer has to show that the commissioner's findings are clearly unreasonable or unlawful. But if the taxpayer bypasses the commissioner and doesn't raise the valuation challenge, so the commissioner doesn't make any findings, then the board can't apply that standard.
Well, Mr. Hubbard, go ahead.
Wasn't the valuation the part of their objection? When you say that they don't raise the valuation question, in fact, they did raise the, that's the whole sum and substance underpinning their appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals, correct?
Right, but
let me, okay. So my understanding is that they did not prevail with the tax commissioner. Based upon research or however they came to it, they decided that the Tea Garden approach to evaluation has worked in the past, so they, as you said, changed horses in midstream. Well, they didn't change horses as to their objections to the valuation. They just came about it at a different method. But they had the same underlying complaint on appeal that we are we are overvalued by the tax commissioner. And let me, you know, let me show it to you a different way, a BTA, and that's using this accepted method of appraisal. Okay, now my understanding is you're saying that they should have, was there a mechanism for them to go back to the commissioner and say, let's start over and let's use the Teagarden approach?
Well, Your Honor, they should have done that earlier. They certainly had the choice to do it. The difference in the valuations here are $25 million. They could have easily expended the resources they should and must have presented at the commissioner. But let's suppose that a taxpayer's petition for reassessment just says the tax commissioner's valuation is too high. Okay, would that specify error? No. Would that raise objections? No. Well, effectively, that's what they've done in this case, because what they said at the commissioner's level is the tax commissioner's valuation is too high because the commissioner should have applied a replacement cost new methodology. And that's what they said in their notice of appeal to the board. But at the Board of Tax Appeals, they basically said the tax commissioner's valuation is too high for a totally different reason. So that's the same thing as if they never, in their petition for reassessment, they just said the tax commissioner's valuation is too high because they abandoned the objection that they raised at the tax commissioner's level.
They abandoned. Let me ask you that: should we make an exception here? Where I think our line of cases, I think you're frankly right on our line of cases. This was not a specific enough notice of appeal, particularly when they changed their theory. But should there be an exception for a circumstance such as this? As I understand it, they changed because of Teagarden. They realized that they're probably going to lose on that theory. So after the notice of appeal was filed, is that correct?
They commissioned it after a year after the notice of appeal.
Teagarden was decided after their notice of appeal was filed.
Absolutely.
So they changed.
Actually, Your Honor, I think if you look at the valuation statute at issue here, the public utility valuation statute, there's actually more compelling reason to firmly apply the jurisdictional bar because.
Well, let me ask my question.
I'm sorry.
Should we make an exception for this circumstance where the law has changed, has taken the ground out from the appellant, essentially, and the appellant realizes, I better change my theory.
Right.
Notice of appeal has already been filed.
Right.
What does the appellant do in that situation?
Well, actually, the law didn't change. What happened is what the Board of Tax Appeals said in an earlier case involving Cincinnati Bell Telephone, not involving Ohio Bell, that a valuation study that wasn't supported by sufficient evidence, it was just a summary document, and they didn't bring in the author of the study, they didn't explain the methodology, the evidence wasn't, it was all hearsay. So the board said, these are unreliable estimates. So it wasn't a change in the law, it was a straightforward application of evidentiary principles. So they just didn't want to expend the capital to support their study by bringing in the necessary people and supporting their estimates. So that's why they chose this other route. And what I would like to point out is that this valuation statute is one that gives the commissioner great discretion. It provides that the commissioner shall apply a costless depreciation methodology unless the commissioner in his discretion determines that alternative valuation methodology would better reflect true value. So the Board of Tax Appeals should have reviewed it under an abuse of discretion standard, and there can't be an abuse of discretion when the taxpayer changes its methodology from one that it presented to the commissioner. The commissioner had no opportunity to consider that other methodology. So how can the commissioner have abused his discretion?
Counsel, I asked whether there would have been an opportunity for Ohio Bell to, in light of the Teagarden utilization approval, to kind of regroup and ask for a second bite of the apple with the tax commissioner. Is that ever done? Is that something
it's
that
not,
could be
it
done?
It wouldn't be done here where there's a jurisdictional bar and where the taxpayer failed to prove an abuse of discretion, but certainly in this case, if the court's not persuaded by these compelling grounds, then at minimum, the court should remand the case back to the commissioner so the commissioner can make valuation findings on that appraisal, and then the Board of Tax Appeals can review it on an abuse of discretion standard. And there are fundamental errors in that appraisal that the commissioner on review would be able to evaluate and provide guidance to the board.
So basically what you're telling me is there is no mechanism in the statute to allow for a do-over absent a court order,
absolutely,
a remand.
Absolutely, Your Honor, and I would submit that there are compelling jurisdictional grounds as well as the taxpayer's failure to prove an abuse of discretion in this case that would, it makes sense not to do that in this case because the court's just applying the plain meaning of the statutes in a long line of case law.
So you're urging a straight reversal.
Yes, Your Honor.
But you're indicating an alternative approach would be to send it back to the tax commissioner so the whole process starts over.
Yeah, so at least the tax commissioner makes findings.
Method of valuation was used and accepted by the commissioner in succeeding years?
Your Honor, the commissioner has applied the statutory method for all the years because the commissioner, that methodology is not only prescribed by the legislature, but it's fine-tuned on a periodic basis by the commissioner. And the commissioner is well-suited to do this. I mean, we want to fairly and efficiently apply this to all the telephone companies in Ohio, and we do, and Ohio Bell is the only company that's complaining. So, I mean, everybody else is conforming. And they're a garden variety local telephone company that regularly increases its planned investment.
Thank you, Mr. Hubbard.
Thank you.
Mr. Lang.
Good morning. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. This is a true value case. Despite the tax commissioner's focus on the evidence that was submitted by Ohio Bell at different levels of this proceeding, this case has always been about whether the true value of Ohio Bell's public utility personal property has been determined correctly.
Well, what could the tax commissioner focus on but the appraisal evidence that was offered to it?
Mr. Justice, what the tax commissioner focuses on and what the appeal was about was whether the statutory method, which is this default, prima facie method, which looks at costs on the books and standard tables that the tax commissioner developed back in the 1990s, whether that statutory method reflects true value. And what the tax commissioner does is apply the statutory method. And so the objections that were raised by Ohio Bell is that the tax commissioner's application of the statutory method does not reflect true value as required by Ohio Constitution Article 12, Section 2, and Revised Code Section 5727.10.
What evidentiary approach did your client offer to the tax commissioner at the stage of the initial determination?
At the stage of the initial determination, the Ohio Bell indicated its objections as required by the applicable statute, and submitted a RCNLD study, replacement cost new less depreciation study, and that study not only looked at service lives and costs and tried to develop an alternative valuation, but also discussed the technological and the regulatory issues that were impacting Ohio Bell at that time that should result in an alternative approach to valuation being used. But the issue for Ohio Bell, both at the tax commissioner level and at the Board of Tax Appeals level, was whether the statutory method resulted in, whether the statutory method reflected the true value and money of Ohio Bell's property.
Mr. Lang, how specific was your notice of appeal? I know there's some question about whether it was too general or if it didn't give appropriate discussion of the issue so that the jurisdiction wasn't met to begin with. What specifically was stated in your notice?
What specifically was stated in the notice was that the The statutory method, the what the tax commissioner applies under 5727.11A, which is this cost, book cost less depreciation or annual allowances. The result of that, the result of that method, did not reflect true value as required by Ohio law, and what was in the notice of appeal was simply that. It's an end results test. It's not a test complaining specifically. You know, the objection was not specific, as the tax commissioner complains, was not specific to a particular part of how the statutory test was applied. But the objection is that the end result violates Ohio law.
So are you saying that you specifically said the default method under 5727.11A did not apply to your case, and that was how it was specifically stated?
Yes, Your Honor. So, and I think the, you know, what exactly was stated was that that statutory method did not result in assessment of Ohio Bell's taxable public utility property at its true value.
So in your view, then, you could come up with an alternative method, because you have specifically said the default method doesn't apply here.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Now, we're not...
Had you identified an alternative method at that point?
No, Your Honor.
Because Tea Garden hadn't been given the stamp of approval at that point, is that correct?
You're asking in terms of the review of the tax commissioner review before the final determination, so I'm clear. Yes, no, Your Honor. The evidence that Ohio Bell developed to overcome its burden that the tax commissioner's determination is presumptively correct, which is the evidence that it developed with the Tea Garden appraisal. That came after the appeal was taken to the Board of Tax Appeals.
What do you find to be the proper standard of review? Is it abuse of discretion in your view?
The standard of review for the Board of Tax Appeals of what the tax commissioner determines is not abuse of discretion.
What is it in your view?
It's a de novo standard of review, which this court has held on many occasions, going back to the 1940s and the Higbee case, and more recently in the Snyder case, the Texas Eastern case, the Hatchadorian case that the tax commissioner refers to. And the Hatchadorian case is important in with respect to Ohio Bell's position, because in both the Hatchadorian case and the Snyder case that the Ohio Supreme Court decided, there was no evidence of valuation. There was no alternative appraisal that was submitted at the tax commissioner level. Objections were raised. The tax commissioner applied the statutory method, which is what the tax commissioner does. And then on appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals is where the evidentiary development was made. In the Snyder case is where competing appraisals were introduced. And in the Hatchadorian case, the appellant in that case lost because it was noted that they did not carry their burden of proof by submitting new evidence of appraisal evidence at the Board of Tax Appeals level.
Mr. Hubbard is suggesting to us, if I understand his argument correctly, that we should maybe consider remanding this case to the tax commissioner, because in effect we've got two separate tribunals that have considered two different theories. The tax commissioner applied the statutory method, and then the Board of Tax Appeals didn't really review that. They adopted a different theory, and he said, wouldn't it be more appropriate to have the tax commissioner at least consider the valuation method utilized by the Board of Tax Appeals? What is your reaction to that argument?
I think Ohio Bell's reaction is that there aren't two separate tribunals. There's an administrative review at the tax commissioner level where the tax commissioner applies the statutory method. If other evidence is submitted, which there's no requirement that other evidence be submitted, but if other evidence is submitted, the tax commissioner can review that evidence. But you know, the tax commissioner, frankly, does the tax commissioner has the expertise to apply the statutory method. They do not have an appraisal staff, which was in this case what happened is that once this appeal was before the Board of Tax Appeals, the tax department went to Utah, where they have an appraisal staff in that state, and retained as a consultant an individual who had done that work in the state of Utah for the tax department. That is not, you know, expertise that it is applied at the tax commissioner level. So the tribunal that made the decision in this case was the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board of Tax Appeals is where all of the evidence can be assembled, where Ohio Bell had its opportunity to present its valuation evidence, where the tax commissioner had its his opportunity to present valuation evidence. The tax commissioner had the opportunity to either submit evidence supporting the statutory method, or the tax commissioner had the opportunity to introduce other valuation evidence if the tax commissioner deemed that appropriate. The tax commissioner's determination was to stand by the statutory method, was to put all its money on that horse. And even though they retained an expert who does do appraisals, they did not have that that individual conduct an appraisal in this case. So the Board of Tax Appeals did the full review of all of the evidence on valuation that was submitted, and the Board of Tax Appeals made that factual determination as to the value.
And that valuation was this indicating that the statutory method overvalued the property by more than $760 million.
Yes, Your Honor. And
how could you be out that far on the value of property? And I can understand we don't have the same valuations, but what would account for such a large disparity in those numbers, in your view?
And Your Honor, what the evidence in the record showed, and what the evidence was before the Board of Tax Appeals, was that there had been substantial changes, some would say massive changes, in the telephone company business. What we're talking about is the wireline, the traditional wireline telephone company business. And what the evidence showed was that starting approximately in the year 2000, and then quickly accelerating through 2001 and 2002, and we're talking in this case about a tax determination made at the end of 2002, that there were both technological changes and regulatory changes that greatly affected Ohio Bell's operations during that time period. And so the Board of Tax Appeals could look at the greatly declining net operating income that Ohio Bell was experiencing. They had before them the great line loss that Ohio Bell was experiencing during that time period. They went from they went from, it was 4 million lines in their operating territory to 3.5 million lines in a 2-year period, and then down to 3 million lines after another 2 years. So their line loss during this time period took them back to what was in the record, where they were in 1971. What was happening with the cost approach is that the cost approach was reflecting a time before all of those changes in Ohio Bell's business occurred. And the cost approach was not keeping up with the actual value of this property.
Counsel, what approach was used when it came to the public utilities figuring what the proper rate charges to customers were? That wasn't an income approach, was it? It was the investment, a return on investment?
Your Honor, I think there were two determinations at the Public Utilities Commission. One of the regulatory changes that I was kind of generally referred to with Justice O'Donnell was that Ohio Bell's business was several aspects of Ohio Bell's local service business were deregulated during this time period, and so the traditional cost approach that had been used to value those assets was eliminated, and there were competitors coming in during the same time period that were leasing Ohio Bell's lines, and there's what was called, there was a cost approach that the commission used to determine what those competitors would pay to lease those assets, a total element long run incremental cost approach. But I think the impact that had on this case, again, as sort of what was happening in the 1990s to what was happening at this tax period, was that you had these two sets of books. You had these regulatory books, what they called MR books. They also had financial books or FR books. The old regulatory set that was from this traditional monopoly cost-based era, those were the books that were being used at the Public Utilities Commission.
Did the customer, I assume it was different than how they handled the electrics with respect to the electrics. The customer got billed for a bunch of this historic investment on a cost basis. Did that happen with respect to the telephone companies?
I do not believe so, Your Honor. There was stranded cost recovery in the electric industry. That was not something that I'm aware of that happened in the telephone business. Okay. This was simply assets that were kind of shoved off to the side.
Mr. Lang, if the Tea Garden method had not met with success after the appeal had been filed by Ohio Bell, all right, to the Board of Tax Commissioners, what would your theory have been to present to the BTA as to the error of the commissioner?
Your Honor, I think that the theory is the same, and
Would it have been that just a simple matter of they got the math wrong under the statutory evaluation process?
Well, I think at the Board of Tax Appeals, because the statutory method has that, has the presumption of correctness, at the Board of Tax Appeals, as this court has found many times, the taxpayer has to come forward, or the appellant has to come forward, with competent and probative evidence of value. So, whether that's through an RCNLD study or whether that's through an appraisal, there has to be evidence that the Board of Tax Appeals, in its expertise, determines is probative of value, and taking all other evidence into consideration, truly reflects what the true value in money of the property is, and demonstrates that the statutory method does not reflect true value.
And in your view, it's not, the tax commissioner doesn't have to pass upon that theory to begin with. I mean, that's the problem I see here. When you talk about a brand new theory that for the first time you're presenting to the BTA without having had that same theory passed upon by the tax commissioner, who has the statutory requirement to impose the valuation.
And Your Honor, absolutely. The tax commissioner has that statutory requirement, and so the issue, both in the petition for reassessment and the issue in the notice of appeal, is whether the tax commissioner's application of that statutory method satisfies the constitutional requirement and the revised code requirement that the property be assessed at its true value in money. So
if we decide that the notice of appeal and the evidence, say the theory of the case at the Board of Tax Appeals, are not consistent. What should we do?
Your Honor, I think the you have the option of remanding to the Board of Tax Appeals. There's nothing that the Board of Tax Appeals would do differently, given the evidence that was submitted to it in this case.
Oh, but there really are two different bases upon which you're asking for the tax to be assessed, are there not? One is an appraisal of property, and the other is the life of the property and the. Aren't those two different ways of arriving at a conclusion?
There are two separate types of evidence used in support of the objection to the statutory method. The appeal and the objections and both the error that's specified in the appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals is that the statutory method and the application of the statutory method, its end result, violates the Ohio Constitution, violates the revised code. The parties are then free under the decisions of this court, because that factual issue has been raised as to whether the statutory method is reaching a result that satisfies the revised code. The parties are free on appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals, both Ohio Bell and the Tax Commissioner, are free to come in with whatever type of evidence, whatever type of valuation method they believe best
satisfies the case. You're assuming not my question. My question is, let's assume that we decide that the notice of appeal does not give notice to the tax commissioner or to the Board of Tax Appeals and the tax commissioner as to precisely what it is you are challenging in the tax commissioner's decision. I think our cases are pretty strong on that. I mean, you may argue about it, our cases are too strict, but that's our case law. Let's assume that we make that decision. What should we do with the case? Should we remand it to the Board of Tax Appeals to say, Board of Tax Appeals, make a decision based upon your notice of appeal to the board, or something else? Mm-hmm. Do we dismiss it because the board didn't have jurisdiction?
Right, and Your Honor, I say no
to that. I'm sure.
Right. I think you certainly have that option of dismissing if that notice is not clear enough. We of course believe that
sure.
It is, and it states it's unlike your other decisions that just say there was something wrong. The issue here is there was something wrong, and why?
You have more than that. I agree.
Right. So. I think there's also the alternative of remanding to the BTA. We can go through the process of remanding to the BTA. The BTA can send it down to the tax commissioner for determination, for review of the appraisal evidence, and then we can come back up again. Your Honor, time has certainly passed. Ohio Bell asks that the decision below be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. Mr. Hubbard, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. I wanted to address Justice Lanziger and Justice O'Connor's questions about what precisely the notice of appeal to the board said. And actually, it did raise the replacement cost new methodology issue. It didn't just say the commissioner's methodology was incorrect. And I'll just read from it. The tax commissioner's determination is erroneous, unjust, and unreasonable because, inter alia, it overstates both costs and service lives and utilizes a method that does not reasonably reflect true value. And that's precisely what the replacement cost new study does. It determines the cost and the service lives. That's
then
what it
counsel,
is. So they're referring to that.
Based on what you just read, there is a challenge to the method.
Yes, but it's not the challenge that they then raise, because their challenge under the income approach has nothing to do with the service lives in the useful life of the assets.
In my mind, the whole argument is, was there sufficient notice to meet the statutory requirements? Mm-hmm. And without specifying that we're going to, you know, a BTA, we feel that the statutory method was not correct and the Tea Garden approach was correct, and we're appealing, and based on that, what they're saying in general terms is the method utilized by the commissioner is unfair and inappropriate to the methodology that should have been applied without identifying the methodology they wanted to apply.
Okay, Your Honor, when you're referring to the Tea Garden appraisal, are you referring to the unit value methodology that Ohio Bell raised for the first time at the Board of Tax Appeals?
That was challenged, yes, that was challenged by the commissioner and then allowed by the BTA.
No, the commissioner didn't review the Tea Garden appraisal. The commissioner reviewed a valuation study that was a replacement cost new study. That's what they raised at the commissioner's level.
I understand
then
that.
Then they totally changed it and
that.
Got Tea Garden later. Okay, I'm sorry.
But the commissioner still objected to that Tea Garden method before the BTA, and the BTA overruled the commissioner's
right.
objections
yeah, exactly.
to its use at that okay. level.
Right, but it was only after the commissioner's proceedings, and contrary to what my colleague said, this court in Hatchadorian v. Lindley said the commissioner's findings are given deference, and it's not a de novo hearing. The case that they rely on, Block v. Glander, is a 1949 case that well precedes Hatchadorian v. Lindley and set forth a standard that said the commissioner's findings are not valid. There's no presumptive validity. So that case is clearly overruled, and their reliance on that case just shows how bankrupt their argument is. Thank you.
To sum up here. Thank you, Mr. Hubbard. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.